Good morning.
In the second chapter of Acts, verse 42 to 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Having an account for the way that we use our time gives us some sense of what it is in life that we're actually devoted to. What are we devoted to? In a study entitled The M2 Generation, Are Your Kids Spending Too Much Time on the Media? It was reported that young people spend 7.5 hours per day, that's 52.5 hours per week, on all forms of media. Now, that number is actually higher than that when you consider the fact that they often are operating two forms of media at the same time, if not more. People are on their phones all the time. And I just want to say a word to the young people in the room that the adults, well, they're not too far behind us. The adults spend a lot of time on their phones as well. And so what we have before us today is the question of what is it that's receiving our time, and therefore what is it that's receiving our actual devotion in life. And as we look into the second chapter of the book of Acts, one of the things that we can determine is that the cultural picture of those individuals living then is far different than the cultural picture of today. But there are still things that take our time, whether we're living in 2016 or living in the days of the apostles in Acts chapter 2. There are choices to be made about what we will do with our time. So what we read in Acts chapter 2 are the choices that are being made by those who are now following Jesus and spending time with the apostles. What we read in verse 42 is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So what we need to do is lock into that word devoted. Devoted. That's what they were devoted to, those things. And the people with which they did those things, therefore, became their primary relationships in their lives. The people that they spent the most amount of time with because of the things that they were the most devoted unto. So how they lived is described in four ways: the teaching from the 12 apostles, the fellowship, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. What verse 46 indicates is that getting together daily was a habit for the believers. So there was a lot of getting together. They got together all the time. And there was a quality to life because of that that they enjoyed, and it's described for us in verses 44 and 45. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, this reminds me a lot of our congregation, because throughout this particular month, we have people who give generously every Sunday to our ministry, and they know when they give to our ministry in the tithes and offerings that we receive every week, that one-tenth of all that you give goes to missions. It goes to local missions, it goes to national missions, it goes to international missions. But in addition to and on top of what you give on a weekly basis, we have been in this month collecting for a ministry called A Caring Place. With these coins and baby bottles, what we're doing is generating a financial gift to assist families who are going through unplanned pregnancies or in a place of crisis. Not only that, but throughout this month, people have been bringing donations of clothing to be a part of a clothing drive that we partnered with Matthew 25 to enact and touch the lives of people all around the world. These efforts are recognition that people have needs. People have needs, and what we have are resources that we can use to address those needs, just as they did in Acts chapter 2. Now, what I've experienced in just the last few days was transporting a family over to the inter-parish ministry in Newtown and watching that family receive several bags of groceries to help them get through the week. Statistically speaking, the inter-parish ministry in Newtown takes care of 420 families per month, and that is 1,300 individuals throughout the course of the month of May. That's impressive. And those statistics are in parallel with what we do through the SEM food pantry. And so what we're seeing are, in a given month, thousands of lives being touched by the generosity of people like you who are giving to these ministries and also spending your time with these ministries. Now, when we think about this, we know that the giving that's going on in Acts chapter 2 was not the only expression of ministry. Oh no, there are other expressions of ministry as well. Because of prayer and because of the many needs that people had at that moment, God was changing lives. What we read about in Acts chapter 2 is that sick people were becoming healthy again. What we see in verse 43 is that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And this has been in continuation since the second chapter of the book of Acts, right? We read in Acts chapter 5 that the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They continued to do it even as we continue to do it today. Now, this was something that Jesus had spoken about. He had spoken about it before the cross. And what was it that Jesus said about this very topic, this whole idea of miracles and wondrous signs that would be taking place? Well, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." Can you get your mind around that statement that Jesus just made? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. So imagine all the things that Jesus did by way of the miracles that he performed, and hear him say in John chapter 14 that anyone who has faith in me will do the very things that I've been doing. You see, this was the plan all along. The plan all along was that the ministry of healing and helping people would be handed over from Jesus to the apostles, and then from the apostles unto us. Yes. Now, the sad fact is that power, the kind of spiritual power which is being described in Acts chapter 2, is often absent from believers, and it's often absent in some congregations. And the reason is summed up in the words of missionary R.A. Torrey, who once said, "We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power." It's where we spend our time, isn't it? Are we devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to God? Because if we are, there will be power. And if we're not, there won't. There won't be the power that God has for us. So God's blessing came to these people because of their prayer and devotion. While meeting with one another, the Bible tells us that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Do you notice that word continued? It's the same as the word in verse 42 for devoted. What it implies is that they persisted. What it implies is that they persevered. That means it wasn't easy. That means there were distractions. That means that by giving themselves unto the things that God prioritizes, there would be people who would disapprove. But that did not stop them because they were devoted. That did not stop them because they continued. What the Bible says is that they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Their meeting time was a time of joy. It was a time of gladness, not a time of sorrow. And so when we come together into the house of the Lord, the thing that ought to be so obvious about everyone in this room is that you have joy and gladness and sincerity in your hearts. That is what we are to be demonstrating. They were happy because being a follower of Jesus is fun. It's fun. And as they received God's blessings, they gave God's blessings. And as they gave God's blessings, they received God's blessings. You know, when William Shakespeare wrote the words, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." Did you know that is a biblical idea? And it's not simply a set of words that comes from a Merchant of Venice. The biblical idea is found in 2 Corinthians 9, where we read, "Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So if you are devoted to others, if you are giving to others, if you are generous to others, what can we expect? We can expect to be blessed too. That is the Bible's promise. That is the economy of the kingdom. It's how things work. Givers are blessed people. But God's blessings come in various ways. What we read in this text is that needs were met. Their numbers grew, according to verse 47. But I want you to notice something else. This is something that a lot of people do not notice about the second chapter of the book of Acts. It says they were esteemed and they enjoyed the favor of all people. They enjoyed the favor of all people. People in the community of Jerusalem who were around the Christians looked at them with favor. They looked at them with admiration. Why is that? It's because of their generosity. It's because they were making a difference in the lives of people. The actions of these people were not rituals. No. The Bible tells us in verse 46 that they did it with glad and sincere hearts. This is the only time in the New Testament that you see this phrase used, glad and sincere hearts. That makes it noteworthy, doesn't it? Glad and sincere hearts is what's describing the generosity of the people. It wasn't a ritual. They weren't just going through the motions. They did it because of the heart that God had given to them. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was a fulfillment of a prophecy that we find in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel reports to us what God's intentions were for you and for me. And this is what God said. "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." Do you know anyone who has a heart of stone? I imagine you do. But what God is saying to us through the prophet Ezekiel is, it's my intention to remove that heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh, and it will be undivided. It will be undivided. You will be wholly and completely devoted to me. Now, the heart is what God changes. So the heart is devoted to God in prayer for one another. It's devoted in ministry to one another. And no one understood that better than Millard Fuller. Millard Fuller came to understand the difference between a divided heart and an undivided heart. After Millard Fuller graduated from Auburn University and the University of Alabama Law School, he became a millionaire at the age of 29. And while the businesses that he ran were flourishing, what Fuller discovered was that his health and his marriage were in decline. So he and his wife made a commitment. They made a renewal of their commitment to Jesus Christ and to each other. And they sold all their possessions. They sold everything. And they began to take a new direction in their lives. It led them to visit Koinonia Farm in Georgia and eventually to establish a ministry that we know as Habitat for Humanity. Millard Fuller would later write about his defining moment of change with these words: "God has chosen us, we believe, to be his instruments to put this issue on the hearts of people in churches, civic clubs, businesses, foundations, governments, and other organizations." Now, it's noteworthy that Habitat for Humanity has helped to build or repair over 1 million homes, bringing help to over 5 million people. And it goes on. And on, through countless volunteers and incredible donations, God's blessings have kept coming long after the Fullers embraced their defining moment. And you know what? Today, could be a defining moment for someone in this room. Oswald Chambers said that you should think of the last thing that you prayed about. What was the last thing you prayed about that was really hard, that was really a struggle? He asked the question, were you devoted to your desire? Or in that prayer, were you devoted to God? Determined to get some gift of the Spirit or to get at God? You see, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The point of asking is that we may get to know God better. The point of asking is that we may get to know our God better. So delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Keep praying in order to get a perfect understanding of God, for that kind of prayer is devotion. Friends, we need to spend less time on the phone and more time in the Bible. We need to spend less time in email and more time in prayer. We need to spend less time doing Facebook and more time helping others. We need to spend less time with the news and more time in worship. For that is prayer and devotion. May we pray. Father, we thank You for the priorities that You set for us and the example in Your holy word. Dear God, be glorified in our lives as we demonstrate to the world what we are devoted to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 336. Jesus, I come. Will you please stand?